Shed Some Light, episode 239, coming to you on a Tuesday. Michael and Jack are back. Sports weekend in the books. And, dude, the Bears stink.
Yeah, that was, like, jokes aside, that was one of the most depressing losses I can remember as a Bears fan. And there have been plenty of those.
Like, it wasn't even a competitive game. And the Bears were favored.
Okay, so I think, obviously, their defense needs to be better. There were a couple breaks that were just, like, went the Packers' way that you were just like, all right, fuck, like, we're not winning that game. If, like the third and five where Jordan Love fumbles it and then throws, like, a fucking 50-yard pass, like, no shot that ever fucking happens again. However, whoever our fucking OC is, I'd fire him immediately.
Luke Getsy or something like
that? Fuck that guy, dude. What the fuck was the game plan? Throw screen passes all day?
Yeah, why do you sign, like, you have a wide receiver core of Darnell Mooney, DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, and your thought was screen passes?
Screen passes? I don't think we had a play action play a single time. It was just like Justin Fields just fucking sat in the pocket. It reminds me of, like, when Nagy was there with Trubisky, and like, he just tried to make Trubisky, like, a pocket passer, and he's just not. It's like, hey, man, why don't we just use Justin Fields' athleticism to our advantage? And, yeah, like, roll him out of the pocket or move the pocket a little bit. Don't just be like, hey, three-step drop, throw the ball.
Don't try and force a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah,
you got to play to the offense's strengths, and they did
none of that.
Zero of that.
And, like, they, like, on offense, they didn't make any changes throughout the entire game. Every single time, it was just fucking same shit, same shit, same shit. It's like, oh, it's not working? Oh, shit, eventually it'll work. And guess what? It never did. Never worked. Defensively, I mean, I knew our D-line wasn't going to be good. I expected them to be slightly better. I mean, fucking, besides, like, two plays, I don't think Jordan Love got fucking touched at all. And by no means do I think that, like, Jordan Love is the next Aaron Rodgers. He had a great game because he just didn't, like, if you just don't rush the quarterback, you're gonna be fine. Right. It's crazy what happens when somebody has good protection around them. They can make an average quarterback look fucking awesome, which is why I wish the Bears would get protection around Justin Fields.
And I do feel bad for Justin Fields because he's, like, one of the, you know, bright spotlights in this organization. But that was a very dark reminder of two things for me. Number one, why I don't bet on the NFL. And number two, that I'm kind of over pretty much all Chicago sports teams. The Bears stink.
Don't get me wrong. I am. But I'm not jumping ship.
It would just be fun to watch good teams.
Sure. It would be, but I've thought about this because, like, I kind of did it with the Braves where I was like, they're my team of destiny, and then they won, so I was like, oh, I'm going to root for the Braves now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel the same.
No.
Like, I don't feel the same emotion that I do and, like, passion that I do with Chicago sports. Like, even if I was like, I'm going to go be fucking a Colts fan or, like, some other fan, like, I couldn't truly like that team, I don't think.
I could not in baseball.
I don't think I could do it in any sport.
I don't think that I'll ever give up being a Sox fan. I don't really follow the NBA enough to, like, be super passionate regardless. The Bears, kind of. I follow the NFL more than I follow the NBA. Not to, like, any sort of super passionate fandom degree. So I could very easily jump ship. I don't think that I would, like, I don't have a strong emotion either way.
I do.
When it comes to the Bears.
I mean, like, the Bears are better than the Bulls for me, but, like, even in the NBA, if I was like, I'm going to go root for the fucking whoever, you know, the Hawks,
mm-hmm.
I still would be like, damn, I deep down, I want the Bulls to win.
No, I get that, and I think that comes down to geography, too. Like, it's tough to root for the Braves because we're not even close to Atlanta. Where at least if I went from Bears to, like, full on just a Colts fan, they're close enough that I can still go to games and stuff. And
sure, like geography wise, but like I couldn't fake. Even if I tried to be like, let's go Colts, I'm a fucking diehard Colts fan. Again, deep down, I'd be like, but I hope the fucking Bears win today. That's the game I really care about. Like, and I'm not like, the Bears, like when the Bears lose, it doesn't have the same effect to me as like when Notre Dame football loses. Like, the Bears, I'm like, fuck, that sucked in the moment. And then like 15, 30 minutes after, I'm like, ah, fuck it. Who
carry
cares?
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, Colts, if I tried to be like a Colts fan in the moment, I would be like, I don't care about this.
I definitely cannot and will not ever give up being a Sox fan. I can tell you that.
I'm not. Sure. I'll tell you what. I'm not giving up any fandoms. Because then also, like, I feel like, fingers crossed, the pendulum always eventually swings back.
Sometimes it just takes decades.
Sure. But I would feel like hopefully when it does swing back, I want to be the person that's like, I fucking stuck it out.
Yeah.
Like, I went through decades of shitty teams so that I can enjoy this fucking one moment. And that's what, and like, if I jump ship, I'm going to be like, I like hate myself inside.
I feel like the Bears have been cursed ever since the double doink.
Oh, for sure.
And the lasting memory that I have of the double doink was that was the day that I moved to Chicago.
Did you curse the Bears?
Did I curse the Bears is the question that people are asking.
You know, go be a Colts fan. Go be a Colts fan. Go move to fucking Indy. Curse some other team and let the Bears do their thing.
Isn't that wild, though? The day I moved to the city, double doink, and then the Bears have gone just spiraling downhill since then.
I don't remember where I was to watch that game.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Studio apartment.
I think I was at IU. I definitely was. What year was that? 2018?
I think 18.
Yeah, I was at IU.
It was the end of 18, beginning of 19.
Yeah, I think I was at, like, Brothers at IU. And I remember just being like, it was like the one where like you look around to like look at other people's reaction to be like, did that really just fucking happen?
Yep.
That was a rough one.
Well,
even Dutton hates a double doink.
On the more positive side, what else NFL-wise do you want to talk about? Or do you want to just jump to college football?
I mean, I don't really give a fuck about the rest of the NFL. The only thing that I will say was I don't know if the Giants are actually that bad or the Cowboys are actually that good. That was an ass whooping.
I think, well, the Cowboys' defense is just monstrous.
Okay. We talked about how Justin Fields has no protection. There might be one offensive line worse than the fucking Chicago Bears, and it is the New York Giants. Holy shit, dude. They couldn't stop me last night. I would have been fucking swim move out to the outside, and I would have been in Daniel Jones's face in 2 seconds.
The Twitter memes going around about that were pretty funny. Oh,
dude. I swear to God, Micah Parsons was in the backfield the second the ball was snapped every play.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, dude. Again, I can't tell if like the Cowboys are that good or the Giants are just that bad, but that was a ass kicking.
Also, shout out to Kyron Williams, 2 NFL touchdowns, baby.
Hey, bang. How you doing? Go. Notre Dame in the NFL. You know who wouldn't allow that offensive line? Zach Martin.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zach Martin.
Boom. College football-wise, Notre Dame takes care of business against NC State. As we kind of touched on in the last episode, we got the adversity we were looking for.
Yeah. Obviously not a perfect game by any means. We forgot to do this against Tennessee State, but I kind of want to bring this back. Can we grade some position groups?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, I'm gonna put all of my grades with an asterisk because I missed like the first quarter in a half or so.
Okay.
I came in shortly after the rain delay. So like the second half of the second quarter to the end of the game.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Let's just start it on offense and kind of work our way around.
Okay.
So quarterback, Sam Hartman.
B.
I was going to say B minus to B. The fumble was uncharacteristic for a sixth-year guy. Like, he granted the pressure was coming from behind him, but he should have had.
Yeah.
both hands on the ball, yeah. Which is why I'm really, I guess, kind of being harsh and knocking him for that.
And there seemed to be a couple plays where there was miscommunication or just like an overthrow of a ball where like he probably should have made a throw or the wide receiver ran the wrong routes. Like, I don't know who to blame that on. Mm-hmm. But that's also like the benefit or the part that's awesome about Sam Hartman is I get, like I said, and I stand by it, I gave him a B. He threw what, 3-4 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Had put up 45 points. It's a good B game right there for you.
The game as a whole is kind of funny to me because like it was kind of a bad game.
Yeah.
That Notre Dame still just dominated.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Running backs?
Running backs, I would have to give like a A-.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely highlighted by Audric's 80-yard run after eating a hot dog.
I was going to say B-, C+.
They were kind of like the tight ends previously. They didn't have a super big factor, I guess,
in
the game plan.
Well, that kind of goes into my next thing of O-line, C+.
Yeah.
I give them like a passing grade.
Yeah.
Like they did enough to warrant multiple touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But like there were a lot of times where we got absolutely no push on any run game, which is kind of why I gave the running backs the B- and the offensive line a C+.
NC State also, though, was really stacking the box.
For sure. For sure. But, and that goes to, way to just transition it in, I give my tight ends an A to A-.
I give Holden Stays an A.
A, yeah.
I give Mitchell Evans like Mitchell a D-.
Yeah. It's bad.
That was just a really bad game from him. So hopefully he gets that turned around. Holden Stays was phenomenal, though.
Yeah. Wide receivers?
B+.
Yeah. I thought, like I said, kind of the same thing. A little bit of a miscommunication on multiple plays. Jane Greathouse, though, just continues to be great. How you doing? Tobias with a good long run. Did get caught. Thought he was a little bit faster. But, you know, it's one of those things that's, like, so weird because, like, they have so much talent there that now when I don't hear from somebody during the game, I'm like, fuck, like, what happened, you know? Like, I didn't hear from Jaden Thomas at all, which I guess is a testament to how good the wide receivers are. They're like, you put up 45. You score multiple passing, you have multiple throwing touchdowns, and you don't hear from Jaden Thomas, like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, I want to hear from those guys, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm not like, it's not something I'm worried about by any means.
Yeah, definitely not concerned. It's just funny that, you know, in the past, it feels like the passing game has always run through one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, last year it was just Michael Mayer. Like, there were other wide receivers and stuff that were involved, but it was just Michael Mayer. Maybe someone else, Michael Mayer.
Yeah.
And this year, it's just like the ball gets spread around so much that, sure, it takes away from, like, one player's individual statistics, but it makes the entire rest of the team so much better because mm-hmm. the defense can't just focus in on, hey, we know it's 3rd and 6, and they're going to throw it to Mayer over the middle.
Yeah.
There's not that person anymore.
Yeah. I thought Chris Tyree was great, too.
Yeah.
And I guess it kind of goes to NC State's defense. I guess this is what happened when they played UConn, too,
mm-hmm.
where they're, like, fantastic for 90% of the game. And the other 10% bites them in the ass every time. Like, they give up big play after big play after big play. But the rest of the time, they're phenomenal.
They put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Like, kind of to the point of being annoying.
Like I said, like they force a fumble. I mean, if you look at like the scoring plays or the setups to scoring plays, it's Audric's 80-yard run, Holden Stays 35-yard touchdown, Tyree has like a 60-yard catch. Like they're just the rest of our plays were not very like it was like 2 yards, 2.5, 3 yards, 4 yards, and then they just give up these enormous plays that kind of like is our backbreakers to them.
Speaking of NC State's defense, I got some wild stats. 2021 was the last time they gave up more than 30 points in a game.
Mm-hmm. And it was to Sam Hartman, right?
Yeah.
At Wake Forest.
And Notre Dame had four plays of over 40 yards on offense on Saturday, and that was as much, that was as many 40 plus yard plays as NC State gave up all last season.
Suck it. Suck it.
So how about that? That was pretty good.
Yeah. I guess I want to give this guy a shout out. Don't know his name. Number 11 on NC State, the white linebacker. They said that he has had 8 to 9 shoulder surgeries. Motherfucker's still playing. Dog, what do you got, dental floss holding your fucking shoulder together?
Nah, he's Iron Man out there. He's just turning into a robot.
Dude, but there were just multiple times where, like, his shoulder, like, definitely popped out. Because, like, he would make a tackle and then look to the sideline and be like, you could tell, like, one shoulder was kind of just, like, off to the side. And he would be like, hey, like, you know, sub me out real quick. And then he would just be back in the game the next play. And it was like, if this motherfucker's walking to the sideline, popping his shoulder back in, and then coming back out, I gotta respect this guy. I believe it was number 11. He's a linebacker, and it's his sixth year too. They were like, he's the heart and soul of the defense.
Let's see if we can find this real quick. There we go. Oh no, he's a tight end. I'm looking at the wrong side of the ball. Defense, there we go.
Said, I believe he was number 11.
There we go, yep. Senior linebacker, Peyton Wilson.
Yeah, dude's been having surgeries left, right, and center. Gotta respect it. So, shout out to that guy.
He's from Cannapolis, the Cannonballers.
Cannonballers, baby. Love it. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
D-line. B minus? B?
I
like Riley Mills. That's about it.
I kind of want to combine the D-line and the linebackers on a grade here just for the containment of Brennan Armstrong. They pretty much minimized his, because he's really dangerous when he kind of gets into like the Patrick Mahomes mode of like scrambling outside of the pocket, getting on the run type of stuff, which... there were definitely instances of that, but it could have been way worse.
Sure. When he was at Virginia, it was the same exact thought I have the when he was at NC State. I'm not afraid of this guy at all. Like, the entire game, I was just like, I mean, we're not losing to fucking Brennan Armstrong. No shot. So, like, I get people are like, you know, hey, 6 years, fucking, that guy stinks. I was not worried about him.
He's good, he's not great.
I was not worried about Brennan Armstrong whatsoever.
Secondary, though.
A plus. A plus. I mean, three picks. I don't know why anybody threw at BMO. His interception was so fucking funny. The fact that he just didn't look at the wide receiver one time. Like, just eyes on the quarterback the entire time. And Brennan Armstrong, again, why I'm not fucking afraid of him, was like, I'll throw it at him. You're an idiot. He should have had two picks.
Yeah.
Only had one.
Yeah.
Xavier Watts.
I missed both of those.
What?
The potential pick and the actual interception.
The potential pick, he 100% should have caught it. They ran like a wide receiver screen pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the wide receiver literally was just like, fuck it. Like, the dude wasn't open at all. And this guy was just like, I'm pretty sure he got like spear tackled as he threw it. And it was just like, fuck it. And it was like, the only thing that I will say, and it's, I don't think the wide receiver meant to do this when he threw it, but he threw the perfect ball that if BMO would have caught it, he would have been out at, he would have had to like tiptoe to make the catch, and it would have been at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Like that's the only, and you could tell like BMO like tried to stop and like put his hands out, and that's why he missed it. Yeah. Like if he runs to the ball, he was going to either, like, collide with, I think it was, like, Jaden Mickey or somebody, or, like, he was going to step out of bounds at the one, and you could tell he tried to, like, stop and put his hands out, and that's why he missed it.
Yeah.
But should have had two. Xavier Watts with one.
Xavier Watts with one of the most athletic pass breakups, too, where he came over the top of the guy and didn't hit him and just got his arm around to block it. That was pretty sweet.
I think, who's it, DJ Brown?
Two.
Yeah, I think he had the best interception of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great read by him. Breaks, jumps this route. I don't know if you saw Brennan Armstrong's face afterwards. He just, like, kind of looks at him and was like, Fucking what?
Where did that guy come
fucking,
from?
Fucking, huh? I was like, I don't know, man. You just threw a shitty ball and he made a great play on it. Like, fucking, it is what it is. But yeah, I'll give secondary A+. Couple times that they lost a guy in the end zone. But, you know, it's to be expected. So, nothing that I'm, like, too worried about or anything.
Yeah, like I said.
I mean, if your offense is averaging 47.5 a game, fucking pretty good.
It was a bad game that still ended up being a blowout. So, no real complaints there. Coming up against Central Michigan this week, again, should just be a kind of handle your business and move on type of game. Notre Dame opened up as 32-point favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they beat New Hampshire by 3.
It's just one of those tough games, like, go out there and take care of business.
And then, yeah, like, go home.
Yeah.
Don't
get injured.
I don't want to be the person that's like, I get it, but I also don't want to be the person that's like, I'm looking forward to Ohio State.
Right.
Because, like, I do want to come out and shit kick a team. Yeah. Again, like, that's fun. I do enjoy this. And, like, this is what, one of the things that I was saying, too, is, like, can you remember a Notre Dame team that was just like, pedal to the metal, we're not taking our foot off the gas, we're shit stomping you left, right, and center, ever? Can you remember a team that's had the mentality that this team does?
It's been present in teams for like single games. The fact that they've done this now 3 games in a row.
I don't remember a team that has handled the bad teams the way that this team has. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think, you know what I think was a huge learning point for Freeman? Last year's Navy game. When they, like, when we were just kicking their ass and then we kind of let up and they came back all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Freeman's, like, that's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let any team get close because I'm just going to shit stomp them every time. And I love it. Because that's what the good teams do. So, I love it. If there's one person I want to give a Miller Lite to, you alluded to it earlier, you kind of mentioned it, I want to give it to Audric Estime. Just housing concession stand hot dogs during the Lightning break, and then first play going 80 yards to the house. Fuck yeah, dude. That's my running back.
That's just such a good story,
and too. It's so perfectly Audric Estime.
Mm-hmm.
And like what is your 250-pound running back doing in there? At a Lightning break, just eating concession stand hot dogs.
Why not? Got to be fueled up.
I can just imagine, like, they eat, like, you know, whoever tells all, like, the interns to run to the concession stand and grab some hot dogs. They come back. They put the hot dogs down. Everybody's, like, kind of looking around, like, who's going to be the first one? Audric's like, my fucking man, let's go. Like, he's out there. He's like, you know, give me the ketchup. Give me the mustard. Like, let's go. Just being like, yeah, dude, I'm housing this hot dog for sure.
Also up to number 9 in the AP poll.
Yeah.
Single digits.
Yeah. You know who's below us? Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
Alabama got their doors blown off by Texas.
Yeah. You hate to see it. You hate to see it.
I don't have the personal hatred towards Tommy Rees that a lot of Notre Dame fans do.
I'm so glad that you're going to say this. Continue this, because this is my exact same take.
It's just funny. Like, sometimes this is just a real life example of sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Amen.
Like, why do you take a lateral move when you could have been at the helm of Sam Hartman in this offense? Now, granted, I don't know what the games would have been like had Tommy Rees been calling plays this year. As of right now, I'm not trading that for the world.
No, because I love Jared Parker so far.
But you know, it's a tough world in the SEC, and when you break a 57 game non-conference winning streak, and the offense doesn't look good at all.
To be fair, nobody on their team looked good.
No,
there wasn't a single group on their team that I was like, damn. They're good.
And did you see Nick Saban's comments in the post-game press conference?
I heard about him.
I think he's kind of like just calling
it quits. I heard about him. He's like, fuck, dude.
Well, he literally, his press conference ended with, like, you know, thank you and all the fans for the support. It's a privilege to get to coach here at Alabama. It's a privilege for the players to get to be here, and we appreciate, like, you guys showing up week after week. That's just not Nick Saban. I really think that he's about to retire.
Fucking who knows,
I don't want to, like, unintentionally stir the beast here, wake up the monster.
Yeah.
But they did not look good.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're playing some shitty SEC team next that they're going to win by, like, fucking 500, if I had to guess.
Probably. Let's take a look here. South Florida.
Yeah, they're going to win by, like, they're going to win this game, like, 92 to nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to Tommy Rees, that, your take is my exact take, where, like, I don't have any, like, personal animosity towards him. I think he's a great guy. I loved him at Notre Dame. You know, wish him the best at Alabama. But, like, at first, right as the move happened, I was like, I get it. You want to go to Alabama. You want to go to the NFL.
Learn from Nick Saban.
Sure. And Alabama assistant coaching is a pipeline to the NFL.
Yep.
So, like, I get it. And then it, like, settled in a little bit, and I was like, wait a fucking second. You're going for a lateral move to an offense that has the most amount of question marks it's had in the past decade, and you're leaving an offense that is arguably the best it's been in the past decade. I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yep.
So, and then, like, you factor in the fact that he had the whole fucking I'm not leaving speech last year. Like, I want to be here with you guys. Being here means something special. Like, clearly it fucking didn't enough. And so it's like, hey, man, fucking have fun with Jalen Milroe over there. Have fun with Tyler Buchner. You guys looked like dog shit. The fucking the video of him calling Jalen Milroe is an all-time meme.
Yeah,
just face. Fucking face down, running his fingers through his hair like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, PFT had the great tweet. It was like, he looks like he's calling his parents from jail. Like, Mom, I fucked up. I'm sorry. Like, just so funny. But yeah, they did not look good. Tennessee didn't look good either.
Who did they play?
Austin P.
Oof.
And they did not win convincing. I think they ended up winning by like 21, but it was like, I'm pretty sure they only put up like 30. I was like, yikes. North Carolina stinks. I'll fucking say it to the end of time. Fuck you, Drake May. Fuck you, North Carolina. The double overtime versus App State. Lick my nuts. Get them out.
It's definitely shaping up to be a weird year in college football, and I'm okay with that.
I love it.
Colorado gets another dub.
Again. I'll give props to Dion. I'm so far out on Colorado because they stormed the field against Nebraska.
Yeah.
You absolutely cannot do that. I don't care how shit your football team has been. You cannot storm the field against Nebraska. Because now what? That sets the precedent that you now have to storm the field every time you win.
I was talking...
Because Nebraska's the shittiest team of all time. So, like, if you storm the field against the shittiest team, you have to then storm the field against better teams now.
I was talking to someone on Saturday morning before the early game started, and they were like, yeah, I really think that Nebraska is going to just kind of take care of business against Colorado, going to blow them out and stuff like that. And I was like, am I missing something? Like, when was the last time Nebraska was good at football?
The 80s.
They had 1 year, maybe, under, like, Scott Frost, maybe?
No. I think, legitimately, the 1980s was the last time that they were, like, good at football.
I didn't say anything, because I was like, maybe I just missed the boat here, but Nebraska stinks.
Were you talking to a Nebraska fan?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. He rooted for a whole bunch of other teams, not Nebraska, though.
Oh. Well, there lies your problem. Well, anybody who roots for a whole bunch of other teams.
He's a dad, and he roots for the schools that his kids went to. So he was a Michigan State, and Illinois fan. Just cornering the market in the Big Ten.
Fuck it, one of these teams has got to win.
Yeah, and it's only because that's where his kids went.
Also, Illinois football fucking stinks.
Yep.
They suck. So is Michigan. Fuck Michigan.
Michigan State fires Mel Tucker.
Suspended.
He's not coming back.
Yeah, fuck him. Also, dude, fucking everyone, what is Michigan doing? Did you see this?
No.
They had two different people coach the game.
Oh yeah, because Harbaugh's still not back.
Yeah. Like, one person got the first half, one person got the second half.
It's the same thing as their quarterbacks. They're just like, kind of, whoever wants to go out there, like, do it.
And, like, they've scored, what, like 30 points a game? Against fucking East Carolina and UNLV? I mean, they don't look very... I'll fuck them up. That's what I'm saying. I will. Fuck you, Michigan.
Okay, any other sports things that you want to talk about? The Sox officially eliminated from the playoffs. Shocking.
Yes. The number one draft pick. Here we come.
The Blackhawks, I think, start soon.
Yeah, Connor Bedard. That's the last thing that the fucking Chicago has.
I'm still going to watch maybe a half a game this year.
No, I'm going to watch a lot of games.
Nice.
Just because I think he's like... he's fucking insane.
Yeah.
He will turn that franchise around. Dude's nuts. I'm all in on the Blackhawks.
Boom. One thing that Chicago's got going for him.
One of the Mabrys broke the single season Chicago Sky 3-point record.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go. Whatever Marina. One plays. Yeah. She broke the record. Good for her. Like 82 or something like that.
Nice. Nice.
Bucket City.
Anything else sports-wise?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So I have one, I guess, dumb thought, but just kind of wild thing that I heard on the radio then to wrap up this show today. I heard commercials on the radio, and this cracks me up and blows my mind at the same time. Have you ever heard of some guy named Mark Patrick?
No.
Okay. Well, he's coming to the area, and he travels around and does seminars, speaking seminars.
Nice. Dutton right, doesn't Dutton. Like Mark Patrick either.
Yeah. And not only are they speaking seminars,
right?
They're hypnosis seminars.
Okay.
Okay. And do you want to know what he's hypnotizing these people that come to his seminars to do?
Two Boy, things. Do I ever.
Two things. Quit smoking and lose weight. And when I heard customer testimonials on the radio, this guy said he lost 70 pounds in the first, like, 5 or 6 weeks or something after this hypnosis thing. What?
I kind of want to go. I don't really think I need...
$49.99 for the early bird special.
Okay.
$70 regular priced.
Okay. So I don't really think I need to lose weight or anything. I mean, obviously I could lose a couple pounds here and there, but not like anything crazy, and I know how to do it. But I kind of just want to go just to see what he's got to say.
How do you hypnotize people to make them lose weight?
It's probably just like more so like you hypnotize them into thinking that like junk food is bad.
Yeah, but how long does a hypnosis last on a person? Like, does that person that lost the weight from the first seminar then have to go back like a year later so that he can unhypnotize them?
No. I mean, if you're charging $70 a person, you don't need to hypnotize them more than once.
But how, like, does this not just scream scam?
Oh, for sure. I just would like to see what it is.
Dutton wants Dutton. To see too.
Dutton, you need to lose some weight?
No. He's but a weight loss hypnosis seminar. I heard that on the radio and I was like, what has this world come to?
Yeah, Dutton. Let him know.
What has this world come to, Dutton? Tell the people. He doesn't know either. He's looking outside like, I have no idea.
Thanks for your input, Dutton. That's all I've got.
All right. Well, boom. That is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode 239. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Dutton.
Keep him cold.
We'll be back next time that we record after this upcoming weekend probably. And in the meantime,
keep him cold.
Keep him cold, everyone.